Welcome to Science Talk. Okay, folks, I have a question for you. When was the last time you gave a shout out to your immune system for keeping you healthy? Well, if you're like most folks, you rarely give it a thought, except during cold and flu season. The fact is, your immune system works continuously, not just to keep the sniffles away, but to fight off much more serious invaders, including cancer. It truly is the unsung hero of good health. And today, before cold and flu bugs beat us down, we're going to bone up on the immune system. And we'll learn why it's so important to pump up immunity all year round, so your defenses are at the ready to tackle anything that comes your way. And as part of that discussion, we'll talk about a unique substance called interferon, which plays a number of important roles in a healthy immune system. Please welcome our immunity experts, Dr. Jamie McManus, Chair of Medical Affairs, Health Sciences and Education here at Shackley, and Dr. Scott Olson, naturopathic doctor and health sciences writer.
Thanks, Cynthia. Great to be here.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Okay, folks, let's start with some basics about the immune system so we're all on the same page.
Well, you said it at the beginning, Cynthia. Your immune system is at work continually, sending signals and responders around your body that are looking for viruses, bacteria, really anything foreign to the body. And when it recognizes an abnormal cell or an invading virus, it then sounds an alarm that triggers the immune response. And that response is actually different depending on what the trigger is.
And what I find truly amazing is that our bodies respond to both invading pathogens from without and abnormal cells from within.
Well, Scott, the immune system is really remarkable. It recognizes what an abnormal cell is and actually can destroy it and even dispose of it. It's highly complex and highly efficient when it's healthy and strong.
Well, let's talk about that system. What are the key players when it comes to immunity?
Well, the body's first line of defense are physical barriers, like your skin and the mucus linings in your nasal passages. These barriers are designed to keep microorganisms from entering the body.
Well, that intrusion kicks off a series of events. If a virus or bacteria enters the body in large enough numbers, the first responders are proteins called cytokines that are released by our cells. There are signaling cytokines called interferons, and as you may guess from the name, interferon, their job is to interfere. They induce the formation of antiviral proteins that interfere with the virus reproducing, meaning they try to stop or limit the infection. Interferons also orchestrate a wider immune response communicating to uninfected neighboring cells and triggering the innate resistance mechanisms in those cells to eradicate the pathogens as well, again, trying to keep the infection from spreading.
Right. It triggers the protective defenses of the immune system, including T cells, natural killer cells, and macrophages, all of which actively search out, kill, and dispose of invading pathogens. Everything from a cold virus to cancer.
So interferon really is one of the keys.
Well, Cynthia, the immune system is highly complex and involves compounds and processes in our bloodstream as well as in our cells. And interferon certainly plays an important role.
Ooh, so do our bodies produce plenty of interferon?
Well, Cynthia, in a healthy body, interferon production is activated within hours of an invasion. That's why it's so important to keep your immune system in good shape all the time, all year long, so your body can produce interferon as soon as it's needed. Unfortunately, there's a lot of everyday factors that not only challenge the body's immune system, but interfere with its ability to function well, including the production of interferon.
So, Scott, tell us about some of those challenges.
Sure. So stress, poor diet, a sedentary lifestyle, and not getting enough sleep, all of these things can compromise immunity.
And unfortunately, age is another factor. As we age, there's a gradual lowering of immune function that particularly affects our T cells. This decline is linked to a higher incidence of infectious diseases, especially viral infections. So everything from the common colds and flu to more serious conditions such as shingles.
And recovery from an illness often takes longer as we get older, which can also be the result of declining immune function.
Okay, so aging is a factor. But let's also talk about stress, because I know at this time of the year, with the holidays approaching, stress can really kick in big time.
Well, stress is a big one. But interestingly, in short-term stressful situations, scientists have actually learned that hormones triggered by that stress can actually enhance immune readiness. In fact, there was a recent study by scientists at Stanford Medical School that added weight to that evidence that the immune responsiveness is heightened rather than suppressed by that immediate fight-or-flight type response.
But there's also extensive clinical evidence that shows that chronic, severe, or unrelenting stress can definitely diminish immune function. In fact, there's an entire field of study called psychoneuroimmunology that studies the connection between stress and illness.
Research is showing that during stressful situations, there's a good bit of crosstalk between the immune system and the nervous system. And the nervous system, which includes the brain and your peripheral nerves, can stimulate or inhibit various parts of your immune system. And as we've talked many times on Science Talk, in times of stress, the brain triggers adrenal hormone release, including epinephrine, norepinephrine, and cortisol. These substances bind to specific receptors on white blood cells and can impact their distribution and function, which in turn can impact your immune response.
And I just read a very new study that further explores the connection between the immune system and the nervous system. Apparently, there are a number of peptides, which are very small proteins, with neural or neuroendocrine functions that also have a potent antimicrobial activities. So it's possible that the nervous system uses these peptides as defense against an infection throughout the entire body. Which wouldn't be a problem, except one of these peptides, called neuropeptide Y, or NPY, is secreted under stressful situations, and that can actually suppress immune T cells.
So too much NPY may lead to inflammation, while not enough may lead to a virus flourishing into a full-blown infection. Sounds complex, doesn't it? And that would be an understatement. But suffice it to say that our immune system is a delicate balancing act. It can overreact when it is out of balance and potentially lead to inflammation or even autoimmunity. And it can underreact and not recognize abnormal cells that may ultimately become a cancer or possibly not be able to stop an infection before it spreads.
Oh, gee, so a big double whammy all caused by stress.
So not just chronic stress, but lifestyle factors from a nutritionally deficient diet to obesity can actually lead to immune dysfunction, which in turn can lead ultimately to chronic diseases, including heart disease, cancer, liver disease, a number of serious conditions.
Now, let's talk about sleep, and specifically the connection between being tired and sick.
Well, according to the Mayo Clinic, people who don't get quality sleep or enough sleep are more likely to get sick after being exposed to a virus, and they're often slow to recover from an illness.
Absolutely correct. During sleep, your immune system releases cytokines that we mentioned earlier to help fight infection or inflammation. But sleep deprivation can decrease the production of these protective cytokines as well as other infection-fighting antibodies.
For example, studies show that even partial sleep deprivation decreases natural killer cell activity by about 30%.
And another recent study showed that people who average less than 7 hours of sleep per night were about 3 times more likely to develop a cold when exposed to the cold-causing rhinoviruses as compared to the study participants who got 8 or more hours of sleep.
Okay, so to boost immunity, get more sleep. Now, let's talk about diet. Beyond that old adage, feed a cold, starve a fever, what should we be eating to support immunity?
Well, let's start with what you shouldn't be eating. Diets that are high in saturated fat can suppress immune response and may increase the risk for infections, probably due to inflammation that occurs right after eating a high-fat meal. So our advice is to minimize or avoid trips to the fast food restaurants.
And on the positive side of your diet, the evidence is pretty overwhelming that a diet rich in fruits and vegetables provides the antioxidants necessary to boost immunity.
That's right. In last month's Science Talk, we discussed how antioxidants, including vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients, protect and repair cells from damage caused by free radicals. And most experts believe that free radical damage can interfere with your immune system. So any food that reduces that damage supports immunity.
So lots of fruits and vegetables, especially the colorful ones, right?
Absolutely correct. But since most of us don't get the recommended 5 to 9 servings daily, I strongly recommend supplementing your daily diet with a good multivitamin that delivers plenty of vitamins C, E, and zinc. But I'm also a fan of mixed carotenoid and flavonoid supplements, especially if you're not consistent with getting enough fruits and vegetables or eating the great variety that I'd love to have people eating. And since up to 70% of our immune cells are actually created or reside in our intestinal tract, keeping that functioning better with the addition of a daily probiotic also offers support for immunity.
And along with diet, we want to also mention exercise. Experimental studies have shown that regular exercise, even just brisk walking for 20 to 30 minutes, can bolster many aspects of the immune system, including the antibody response and the natural killer cell response.
And exercise can also help flush bacteria and viruses out of your lungs. Exercise also sends antibodies and white blood cells coursing throughout your body even faster so that they can be more effective in triggering the immune system response.
And exercise is such a great way to get rid of stress, which, as we said earlier, is one of the worst threats to your immunity.
So, get moving to maximize your immunity. And as you said earlier, Dr. McManus, your immune system health is a long-term proposition. So, folks, you have to pay attention and work to keep immunity strong all year long by eating well, exercising, getting enough sleep, and managing your stress. Thank you, Scott and Dr. McManus, for giving us the facts on immunity.